Hey Indie Warriors, welcome to I Dream of Indie Weekly. This week, our question of the week is, have you ever lost a save file and had to start the game from the beginning?
Greetings, Indie Warriors. Welcome to I Dream of Indie Weekly. I'm Old Gamer Joe, here with Silent Signs, Legend of the Star, Peach. The whole crew is here this week. Good to be with you once again. If you aren't familiar with I Dream of Indie, we do a lot of indie game reviews, gameplay impressions of about the first hour or two of games or early access builds. We have I Dream of Indie live every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern with Legend of the Star, who's here with us today. I Dream of Indie Weekly, this show, we talk all about the latest indie game news and connect with you, our wonderful indie warriors. You can enjoy this show now, too, for the first time, Silent Signs in audio form at anchor.fm/iDreamOfIndie. We're on all major streaming platforms, even Spotify, wherever you like to listen to your stuff. I don't know, where do you listen?
Spotify?
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Perfect. I think we're on the Apple iTunes, the whole deal. So wherever you want to listen, you can enjoy this show in audio form as well. You can take us to work with you. We have a lot going on here at the channel. Busy times with all these reviews starting to pick up. The month is ending. March is coming in like a lion. Then it leaves out like a lamb. But actually, I think games get busier towards the end of the month sometimes in March. So we'll just have to see there. Now, Peach, you're putting together a question and answer, I understand, too. Tell us a little bit about that.
So anyone can submit any questions, and it can be to all of us or just one of us. And we'll answer them as long as they're appropriate, which hasn't been a problem at all.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's always good. You want appropriate questions. If you're interested in supporting I Dream of Indie further, we do have memberships. They're just $1.99 per month. You get custom emoji, including the adorable Legend of the Star emoji, Old Gamer Joe, Silent Signs, everybody else that's on the staff.
We're still working on our Peach.
We're working on the Peach. You get Discord access, a pretty active Discord, great community in there. You get a little genie lamp next to your name as well. Shout outs at the end of every single video we produce. Ad-free recap right here each and every week, so you don't have to worry about those pesky ads. And you get the Gamer Joe radio show as well, which is all about indie game music. So with all that said, how's everybody doing? Legend, I hear recently you were on a camping trip. In fact, some videos have been being posted in our Discord. What was the idea behind this camping trip? And tell us a little bit about that. And you ended up sick.
Oh, yeah. King Winnerd was in charge of that. Or King the Hatch, I'm sorry. He was in charge of that. He just kind of surprised me with a trip to the mountains. I knew we were going to the mountains. And I knew that it was possibly going to be somewhat woods related. But I didn't realize it would be like in Morganston, North Carolina, out in the middle of like nowhere with 2G Wi-Fi.
Like, it was, this sounds like the plot to a murder movie.
Call my kids and check in, but it was really cool. It was a nice surprise.
Legend, didn't you stream that game, Cabin in the Woods?
Yes, you know, that's so mind. Funny because it absolutely reminded me of that, because it was like this long dirt road, and then there was like this sort of a real road, and then it was more dirt road, and I was like, where am I going? And that was like the first thing that I thought of when we pulled up to like this little cabin, and then there's like trees and everything around. Yeah, he doesn't surprise me. He's not very good at like keeping secrets, so I was quite surprised. I was shocked. And then I just happened to like get like my 1,000 followers on Twitch too that same week.
That's right.
And then he lobbed the tip of his finger off because of work.
Oh,
whatever.
It's actually not the first person I've heard that's done that. Yeah,
I almost did it myself.
It's weird.
Yeah, I remember.
This little nubby.
We had someone in shop class do that back when I was in high school, and it was just blood everywhere. It was like a horror movie, one of the worst things I've ever witnessed. They immediately rushed him out. He's like, I don't need to go to the hospital. I'm like, dude, you are literally like falling apart in front of us. Go to the hospital.
Yeah, it was funny. He called me from the urgent care, and he's like, yeah, I lost my finger. And I thought that maybe he had lost it to like the joint, because that's what he was making it sound like, or his knuckle. But it's really just the first joint. He had surgery on it. Tuesday to get it shaved down. But he was like, do you want to see it? Because they had unwrapped it to rewrap it, right? So they were checking out the surgery stitches and stuff. And I was like, no.
Now, when
he showed
my
mom.
When you say camping, too.
My teenager. And I was like, I don't want to see it.
I'm curious, when you say camping, did this mean like the tent, the whole deal, sleeping outside? You know, because that's what I don't like about
camping. No, it was. So it was just like a cabin. He found this Airbnb. And it was like literally like a log cabin. Like you walk in and it has like this, the beds right there. And then it had the kitchen, and the bathroom was like really teeny. I mean, I could just barely, you know, except for like the shower. And then it had a hot tub, because of course, amenities, you can't go camping without a hot tub. and a cute little spot you could walk up and have a little fire pit. So we did like the whole thing. We actually stayed an extra day and did the fire pit the last day and stuff. But
nice.
Yeah, no, it wasn't camping in the tent. I mean, not that I'm against it. And I have done it before, but like, you know, showers are cool and, you know, bathrooms and toilets and stuff. Yeah.
You know? I have a problem with the camping outdoor thing is just I can't get comfortable on the ground and it gets really cold at night. The fire eventually burns out and you're just like freezing and you're like,
you're just like freezing. Yeah. And then like, it gets really cold in the morning and it's all wet. And I don't
like,
know.
Evolution,
I
mean,
I like
taught me outdoors, not to do this.
But again,
I've never been camping in any capacity.
No camping whatsoever. Really?
No. Wow. No.
Peach, how about you? Any camping?
I've been camping as a kid, but I've become a diva in my old age, and I need bed and running water.
Your old age as you're the youngest one.
Exactly. That's how I felt. I was like, you know what? I'm going to need like the fry food and like, you know, like wash, like, you know, bathroom. Like, yeah, that's how but it was really sweet. It was the cutest place, quiet, beautiful, like the stores maybe down the street, but it was like a campground area. So it was made specifically for that. And it was really, yeah, it was really nice.
And more impressive, you managed to still live stream from the middle of nowhere. So congratulations.
From the middle of nowhere, right.
That's dedication.
Cool, right, like right. Barely any. I was surprised that even, and I could play Armello. That was the only game. You could play offline games. Because like he brought his computer just because, you know, of course, like why not? And he could play offline games. He was able to play like Cyberpunk and I think he played Division, I think, for a little bit. And I played Armello though. I was on the Wi-Fi. I was like, yeah. So I got some dice in.
Now, Peach, I understand this weekend is exciting for you too, but for different reasons, unless your grandma also lives out in the middle of nowhere woods, but you're visiting your grandmother. Tell us about this.
So it's my grandma-in-law, and she does live in a really small town, but it's not quite the middle of nowhere. I actually go see her about twice a month, sometimes more. She's the sweetest lady. She actually tried VR games one time when she was hanging out with my husband.
That's awesome.
That's so cute.
Yeah, my grandmother lived till 99. God rest her soul. That's quite a run. I'll be very fortunate if I make it to half of that age.
So. My grandparents died in their 50s, so you'll be rid of me soon. Don't worry.
Silent Signs, we were talking earlier too on the Discord, and you mentioned to me that if we can get 100 indie warriors on this channel, I don't know if you were joking or not, but
no, I'm dead serious.
You would actually get an I Dream of Indie Genie tattoo of some sort.
Absolutely.
On which part of your body would you do this?
Wherever you want it, baby.
Oh, okay.
Let's do it. Go big or go home.
So 100 indie warriors, you heard that out there. If you
just
do
not
that,
on my face.
I'll film it and everything.
Anywhere but
right, not on my face. Maybe like a cute neck tattoo or.
Yeah.
Don't,
I'm down with
don't
that.
Feel like a Mike
one
Tyson.
Where it's like right, like under your, like on your, you know, underneath the boobs or whatever.
Yeah. Like, what is that called?
The
underboob? You know, like, you know, the sternum, what is it? Is that what it's called?
There you go.
Know.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be cute. Yeah. Those are like it now.
With all that said, let's get into some indie game news. Story number one. Known cultist Devolver Digital today announced that there's room for all in their cult as Cult of the Lamb is inviting players on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S to join the group when it launches in 2022. Cult of the Lamb casts players in the role of a possessed lamb saved from annihilation by an ominous stranger who must repay their debt by building a loyal following in his name. That shouldn't be too hard, as this particular lamb is a huge fan of cult documentaries and knows all of the tricks to get it done. I lied about the last part, but the point stands. Start your own cult in a land of false prophets, venturing out into diverse and mysterious regions to build a loyal community of woodland worshippers and spread your word to become the one true cult.
So is this cult simulator but with cute animals?
Kind of sounds that way, right? Cool. I hope none of you are associated with any cults, right?
Not that you know of.
Yeah. Not that I would tell you.
Indie publisher Rattalaika Games, together with Infamous Quests, the developer, is delighted to announce the digital release of Quest for Infamy for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Microsoft, Xbox One, and Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch is set for March 4th, 2022, priced at $9.99 USD. Quest for Infamy is an homage to some of the great and iconic releases of the mid and early 90s, where the focus was on story, variety, variety, gameplay, in-depth adventure, wit, serious RPG elements, and interaction, along with many surprises, all combined within a great storyline and neatly encased with a simple point-and-click interface.
So I know before we started recording, we were talking about point-and-click adventures, some of the older ones. We'll talk about Pants Quest a little bit later, but Legend, are you a fan of old-school style point-and-click games at all?
Yes.
You are? Okay, yeah, cool.
I am. I like them. I think it's cool because it's nice and easy just to sort of point and click. You know, you don't really have to think about it. You can focus more on puzzles or whatever the environment's trying to show you and focus maybe on the storyline and dive deeper into the characters. It's less a mess, I would say, when you're doing just point and click.
How about you, Peach? You like the point and click genre? Does this speak to you at all?
No.
Not really a thing?
I liked the look of the trailer, but I don't know. I just don't like them a lot. I think they're good in theory, and I've downloaded a bunch of them thinking it's going to be like my next favorite game, and it's not.
Not every genre is for everyone. I do have to say the portrait art in this game looks quite odd. It's almost like creepy realistic, if you know what I mean, Silent Sun.
It almost kind of reminded me a little bit of that. What was the GTA meets Middle Ages game?
Oh, is that Rustler?
Rustler.
Yeah, Rustler.
I don't know why it reminded me of that, but it did.
Set deadly traps, arrange war machines, and put forward your soldiers. Build your lines of defense against waves of enemies. It is your duty to protect your queen at all costs. Queen Enchantment is an early access indie game in the 2D fantasy pixel art tower Defend Saturday genre. In Queen Enchantment, you are the senior commander of a ruthless lich queen who kidnapped the king's daughter to regain her youth. Protect your queen with her unique playing style.
So I have to say, this trailer told me really nothing about the game. Thankfully, that description did. What did you think, Silent Sun?
I mean, the trailer told me what the game looks like.
That's about it, yeah. But it didn't really show off any of the gameplay, so it's hard to have a comment on this one. I believe this is one we're going to be featuring on the channel, though. Great. So anyone out there a fan of this style of gameplay? Or
I actually like this style.
All right. There we go. All right, great. There we go.
That's why we have all of you to work on these games, because we all like different things.
Yeah. Now, Legend, I know from time to time you don't always, or you kind of question the games I pick for you. Are you open to most genres, though?
I am. I'm open to most genres. I think it's important as someone who is like us, you know, we're variety content creators pretty much. You know what I mean? We always look at different genres. And I think it's important to have that knowledge, because when you're talking about indies, you have to like, well, this reminds me of this game and that game and this game. And to know about every genre gives you more insight, I think, in the games that you're playing, and gives you just more well-rounded sort of talking points when you're trying to explain what indies are.
I agree. I think that's why it's good to have a varied staff that enjoys different style of games as well.
Plus, sometimes you find out that maybe you didn't dislike a whole genre. You just like disliked one particular game in that genre you played.
For sure, so yeah.
You never know. Maybe you just haven't tried the right game yet.
And in some cases, I've rekindled my love with genres that I kind of fell out of love with, too. An example of that is strategy RPGs. I was kind of out of them for a long time. Been playing more for the channel, starting to love them again. Same with JRPGs.
Card games for me.
Card games, yeah.
I hated them before.
We swore when we started this channel that we would never cover card games, and now we're kind of digging some of them.
Inscription? Hello?
It's really great. Yeah.
That was a great game. That was so good, yeah.
Two-time Apple Design Award winner Broken Rules has a brand new gameplay trailer to celebrate the exclusive Apple Arcade launch of Gibbon, Beyond the Trees. This game is coming to Nintendo Switch and Steam later this year, and a free demo is currently playable as part of the Steam Next Fest. This title is an ecological adventure about freedom and survival. Players must master a dynamic movement system to swing, slide, and somersault through a hand-painted jungle. Experience the story of a lost Gibbon searching for home and rising devastation.
This one looks kind of neat. I like the art style on it. You got this weird neon jungle almost look going on here.
Yeah, and I mean, monkey games have worked well before. Donkey Kong Country.
Also, did any of you have Monkey in a Barrel, that game where you kind of connect all the monkeys?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. It's a standard game.
Yeah. I actually never had that as a kid, so I've never played it. No, so how does it work? Are you just connecting
monkey to monkey? Try and make the chains with the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the end goal, though? It's just to get
make a long chain of monkeys.
Yeah, make a long chain of monkeys.
Pretty self-explanatory.
I've actually seen gibbons. I went to Thailand for a vacation one time, and I got to do zip lining with them, and they would just hop on the zip lines and join us.
Really?
That's amazing.
I also don't have the courage to do a zip line because I'm terrified of heights.
Did you actually do zip lining?
I did. Actually, the one I went on had a mile-long zip line, and I think I cried the whole time I was on that one because I was terrified.
I'm like the biggest wuss when it comes to stuff like that.
I would totally do it, but I would be peeing my pants on the way up.
Like, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'd probably be crying too.
All right, so who here has been to Disney World or Disneyland? Any of you?
Me.
I have.
Okay. Okay, you have. Legend, you have not?
Oh, yes, I have. I have been.
Okay. So when you're entering the park, you have two options, right? You can take the boat or you can take that speed train thingy. What's it called? Magical train, whatever.
The monorail.
I was terrified of the monorail. That's how big of a wuss I am.
This is true. I can confirm.
And I was scared of the boat on the way
back. He wouldn't go on the Dumbo ride.
Yeah. Aww. I just have awful motion sickness, so I don't do any of that stuff.
I also have motion sickness. It's called suck it up and do it because it's once in a lifetime.
I also, like, just earlier today, I was being an idiot reading and typing in the car, and that gets me violently ill as well. So imagine what a ride will do to me.
No, that makes me sick, but rides like that don't.
Legend, can you read in the car? Or do you have issues with that?
No, I can read, type in the car. Just fine. No issues at all. I think the only thing I can't do is... I think one time I tried to do math homework in the back of the car and that made me sick, but I mean math, so, you know.
Last but not least, Ziggurat Interactive, publisher of multi-platform retro and modern games, today announced the addition of World Championship Boxing Manager 2 to their roster of upcoming titles. Set for release in spring 2022, the game is the official sequel to 1991's highly regarded World Championship Boxing Manager, and it will offer players a winning 1-2 punch of business tycoon and boxing simulation gameplay. This iteration not only captures the essence of the original, but expands upon it, offering updated visuals, deeper gameplay with RPG-like skill selection, and new characters based on former pro boxers like Sugar Ray Robinson. Now, is anyone here a fan of boxing? Legend, ever been in any fights back in the schoolyard or anything like that?
I have, actually. I'm a toughie.
You were a tough cookie.
I'm a little bit of a toughie, yeah.
How about boxing, though? Are you a fan of the sport in general?
I don't know if I'm a fan of it, but I don't mind watching anything. It's highly entertaining. I like it when they go in for the weigh-ins, though, and they start to, like, beef each other in the face. And then when the fight breaks out there, that's always cool.
Is that an act, usually? You know, when they're all, like, up in their faces like that? Are they just, like, acting, or is that real?
I don't watch boxing. Like, I don't know.
I actually do enjoy boxing from time to time. I'm a fan of the sport. Seems like kind of a dying sport in the last few years with UFC kind of taking over. And
I enjoy
more into
kickboxing.
That.
Does that count?
Oh, kickboxing's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Muay Thai, that's cool.
I feel like this was one of those genres you were kind of getting tired of me giving you, though, Legend, with the simulation games, right?
You were on like a ride there for a while. Like simulation games for a little bit. So I was like, you know, not that I was getting tired of it, but it was just a lot in succession.
But with that said, is this something that might interest you, seeing you are kind of a fan of boxing?
I mean, I think it depends on the simulation game, you know, like Silent Sam was saying earlier, it's not really the genre. Sometimes it's the games within the genre, the subsets in there that can really sort of throw you off. If it's not too like micromanaging, I think I'll be fine. But if it's too much like that, I'm just like the building of the businesses and that type of thing was pretty cool.
Now, how do you feel about these retro games coming back in general? Are you a fan of going back, revisiting games from the 90s?
Oh, yeah. I think now is the perfect time for retro games to come back in style because of the fact that everyone's been home for so long, right? And in the indie sphere, we always see sort of like games come out. It's always narration games and then it's roguelites and then it's... So seeing a retro game as being more in the forefront has been really cool.
It is kind of refreshing, isn't it, Silent Sons? Even recently, you were playing River City Girls Zero. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always nice to revisit these 16-bit SNES games because we're old and we're old enough to remember the Super Nintendo. Now, mm-hmm. Peach, I know you're a little bit younger, but do these retro games still interest you at all? Do they speak to you in any way?
Yeah, they really do. Sorry, my microphone just... something weird.
That's
yeah,
okay. I actually physically hit mine all the
time.
Yeah,
I hit mine. Just
whack it. I really love retro gaming. I think 16-bit art is so charming and beautiful, and I kind of prefer that over this whole open world where every game's the same. I feel like there's more personality in a lot of these games, which I love.
Now, I'm curious. So you being a little bit younger, you not growing up with the Super Nintendo, what's it like for you to go back and visit these games? I presume it's the first time for you, right?
So some of it is the first time, and it's been pretty interesting. I was playing Mega Man when the collection came out on Switch, And my dad started telling me about how in seventh grade, he rode to a girl's house to play that game with her. They're a lot more difficult than modern games since they're so much shorter, and that's a little frustrating, but as long as there's a rewind feature, I'm or unlimited lives, I don't mind.
That is something I like that they put in now, the ability to rewind. You know, they realize we've gotten old and our skills have diminished. At least mine have.
I think it's more, not even just our skills, but like we don't have the time or the patience to just sit there and do something over and over and over until we get it right.
I think they do a good job of recognizing that we're not kids anymore. And, you know, back then you really only, if you were lucky, you had one or two games at a time. You'd go to your Blockbuster or wherever you rented games. You'd have only that one game to play. So you would do it over and over again. Mm-hmm. Now there's so many games released constantly.
But, how do you think I got so good at Donkey Kong Country?
Exactly.
So we had quite a few videos featured on the channel this week. Some of those were actually from the Steam Next Fest demos. So if you're interested in checking out any of that, do check out those videos. We'll link them below. But as far as actual reviews, we had a review of Zombie Rollers Pinball Heroes from X-Hardcore Gamer.
Yeah, it looks like a fun little roguelike mix with pinball elements, zombies going on here. This was a game that has mobile roots, which
I was going to say. From what I understand, I checked and it is available on my iPhone. So
sounds like he didn't have much fun with this one.
But, well, it's pinball. How bad
pinball,
could it be?
You know, I guess if the physics are a little screwy, that could make pinball not fun. But in general, I like pinball games. Legend, do you like pinball stuff at all?
Pinball games. Yeah, I love going to like those pinball, the pinball bars. I love going to those arcade places. I think it's really cool to just relax and rewind, you know. It's
nice. Are you fortunate enough now to have like a barcade near you or something like that?
Yes.
Nice.
Nice. There's two, I think, that are near me. So we do, prior to everything going on, but yeah, we do. We used to go there all the time.
It's pretty amazing how these barcades have held on, even with the pandemic and everything. I think it's such a cool thing. It's great to see the arcade come back in such a fun way, because now you can drink. Because that was the thing when you were a kid in the arcade, there was no alcohol in there or anything.
Also, here's the thing. Like, in general, I don't enjoy bars. Like, it's not a scene that I enjoy. So it gives me something to do. Like, if people want to go out and have a drink, I'm like, great. I can go play video games and you can do whatever you want. Like, perfect.
You can even sit at the bar and play Super Nintendo sometimes.
It's wonderful. It works great for people like me.
All right. Important question here. For all of you, have you ever forgotten where your pants are? Silent Sun?
I'm not wearing pants. I'm wearing a skirt. I can't answer that question.
Legend, you ever just have a day where you can't find your pants? You can't find your car keys? You can't find anything?
All the time. I always put things down and I have no idea where they are. Like, I do that thing too where you have to leave the room and then come back and you're like, oh, now I remember why you were here. Yeah.
Peach, are you forgetful?
I have actually physically been looking for pants. Like, you do laundry sometimes. And you're just like, where are they?
Go ahead, Peach. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I lose everything all the time. I lose my phone about 5 times a day. We no longer have a controller or a remote for our TV. We have to use our phones because of me. So, yeah.
Weirdly, we do that same thing with the remote for the phone, for the TV. And I was looking for my phone prior to filming this and I have the iPhone. So I had to like ping it from my watch to find where I put it because I lose it at least several times.
That's a super handy feature though.
It's the best.
So anyways, my reasoning for this conversation is we reviewed Pants Quest. Silent Times, you actually helped me with this review. We were talking earlier about point and click adventure games of the past. This is one that's definitely stuck in the past in a lot of ways with a very simple but picky verb system where it really wants you to pick something up when it is required to be picked up. Like you have to click pick up, or, you know, it's just very fussy.
You can't use your cat. You have to pick up your cat.
Yeah, you have to pick up or feed cat and all that. But regardless of all of that, I actually still thought the game was pretty charming and relatable. What did you think of Pants Quest?
I liked it. I like the whole overarching like message of it because it is sometimes the little things in life that feel like the biggest obstacles when everything is going wrong and it kind of just feels like the end of the world.
Yeah, someone who suffers from anxiety disorder, the littlest thing can set you off or make you feel like the world's collapsing. And that's really what this game's message is. This poor man's just trying to go to work, only to realize that these issues aren't as big as he's making them out to be. So I think it's kind of poignant. Legend, you did play the demo for this one. What'd you think?
I liked it. It was really relatable. I didn't like it at first because of the fact you have to pick up and put down. That was a little too tedious for me. Because you have to be really, and then you're opening up the cabinets and you're closing them and having to all that stuff. But it was very relatable once you started to play it and sort of get that message a little bit. You're just like, okay, now I see, you know, what you're trying to pull here. So it was very intuitive.
Yeah, short game too. It only took us about 2.5 hours to complete. So worth checking out if you're a fan of point and clicks. Ghost on the Shore.
Yeah.
You watched a little bit of this one while I did the review as well. What'd you think?
This one is, I guess, what you would call a walking simulator. You're doing a lot of walking around an island, and it's kind of a pretty island.
Yeah, it's a very pretty game, actually.
We've played a few of these types of games as of late.
But no, actually, this game is pretty nice. You just got to be prepared for not a lot of gameplay and a lot of story to be told to you.
But yeah, it is. It's a lot of story, not a lot of gameplay. You have to make the decisions pretty quickly, because if you don't, she'll choose for you. So yeah, that is really imperative.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was a really pretty island, and I liked the conversations the two of them were having. Like her, it was really neat. It was cool. It's realistic in that.
The two of them being her and the ghost
right.
in her brain.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, there's literally this.
Like, yeah, that stuff.
So that was Ghost on the Shore. That review is live now if you want to check that out. And last one came from you, Silent Signs. This is a really old game that's just now making its way to Switch. Never Alone, the Arctic Collection, which includes the DLC, I understand as well.
Wow, really old. You're making me feel old. It wasn't that old.
I feel like it's 5 years ago, this game.
It was. Is that really old?
But this happens to a lot of Switch games.
Yeah, we played this one together way back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what. Was it PC or
It would have had to be, yeah. I believe it was PC.
Yeah. Either way, I went in and played this again on the Switch, did it single player. It's really pretty game. It's really sweet because it tells a lot of stories of the Inupiat people. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I'm not, I'm so sorry. No offense intended. But it has some really beautiful cultural insights in it, which is awesome because you can learn some history of a culture that you might not be familiar with while you're playing a really pretty, really cool puzzle platformer.
Not to change the subject, but one thing I learned very early in my YouTube career is if you mispronounce something, people will kill you in the comments over it.
I do that so well. I must be like 10 times dead because I mispronounce things constantly.
Legend, do you have any experiences like that?
Oh yeah, all the time. All the time. I'm horrible. I'm always at woo. Sorry. Especially when it comes to like game titles and it's not the game titles, it's the developers and the publishers. Those are the names that are the hardest to read. You're just like, why?
I know you have more of a Twitch background though, but like, is it a different kind of trolling over at Twitch that you receive versus the comments on YouTube? Or do you feel like there's similarities there?
There's similarities there. Absolutely. Yeah. There's definitely similarities there, especially in our circle. Oh yeah. You better make sure that if you're going to talk about a dev, you pronounce her name correctly. Like, yeah.
Nobody's nerfect, as they say.
Pobody's nerfect. Pobody's nerfect. So.
All right, two buzzer beaters this week. We'll start off with Explosive Candy World. That sounds delicious.
Pop Rocks?
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. A good example there. Forget running or jumping. In Explosive Candy World, you'll have to destroy obstacles, blow yourself over pitfalls, and ricochet off walls in order to reach the goal. It's physics-based mayhem with a precision platforming twist. Presented in cute and colorful pixel art and set to an original retro soundtrack, Explosive Candy World mixes classic style with modernized mechanics for a unique and unconventional platforming experience. And I did play about 30 to 40 minutes of this one, Silent Signs, and because it is physics-based, I didn't really like it. I don't do well with those style of games.
So when you say physics-based, what do you mean?
So you literally have to propel yourself. You're moving the stick in a certain direction, and you have to launch yourself, and you can bump, and then if you bump into something, you'll flying backwards.
So it's kind of pinball-y?
It's kind of pinball-y, but without the fun flippers or any of that stuff. So it's a little bit frustrating, but I'm sure it's for someone out there. And the one thing I can say about this game is it's very easy achievements. If you are a platinum trophy hunter or you're into the Xbox achievements, which I don't do so much anymore. If anything, I get Steam achievements now, but that's an option out there. It's from East Asia Soft. We also played together, Silent Signs, an American Werewolf in LA, which I understand this was a movie back in the day, at least kind of loosely based around that movie.
Loosely based on the movie.
Yeah, which I have not seen myself. Have any of you seen these American Werewolf movies at all?
Well, yeah, I'm old.
You have. I'm old too, but I actually
I'm an old lady.
I was confusing it with...
Yeah, American Werewolf in Paris and LA. Yeah.
I was confusing it with Teen Wolf. So
different movies.
Michael J. Fox.
Oh yeah, no, I know that one too. Yeah, I don't think we've ever told each other our ages, but yeah, no, I think we're right in line.
What's the basis of these movies then? That might actually help me to understand more what's going on in the game.
It's just basically what the title says. It's just this American guy who goes in on like the tourism, gonna, you know, you visit LA, you do whatever, and then you end up, you know, running into like a werewolf, and then you get bit, and then you like just become a werewolf, and then like as you're coming in a werewolf, you're trying to learn, like the werewolf is trying to teach you how to be a part of the pack, and then you decide, well, you know, your humanity is still intact, so you're not gonna, you know, kill people and do all these things. And yeah, it's really weird, but I mean it's I honestly liked American Werewolf in Paris better than like American Werewolf in LA.
Nice. Actually sounds kind of up my alley.
Well, to be honest, it sounds better than the game, unfortunately. It was a little bit of a frustrating title when we were playing it.
It was. Yeah, it's sort of a brawler, but with a timer, which is a very bad decision, in my opinion.
More kind of wave-based because, you're trying to run out a timer and survive each level. And full disclosure, we could not get past the second level of this game.
Yeah, and it didn't help that the frame rate just chugged to like 2 frames per second when a lot of enemies would get on screen. So it almost became impossible to advance. I think we got to the end of the second level and like we're 2 seconds short of advancing. Yeah. And then we said, well, we're not going to be able to review this game because we can't get anywhere in it. So that's why it's here.
It also had this really weird feature where like you can regain health, but in order to do so, you have to stand completely still for a certain period of time.
It's weird.
Which becomes impossible because there are bullets coming at you and like people chasing you and you just can't. Like how would you?
Yeah, I don't know how to say this nicely, but it's just not a well-made game.
It needed a little bit more workshopping is what it is. Sure. It's got a good concept. It's just not quite executed to perfection.
But I will check out the movies though. Those sounded fun at least. In fact, I saw Werewolf.
Yeah, like they're like if you were to watch them now, you would probably think they were be bad, but back then they're pretty good. You know,
I was just gonna say I actually recently saw a werewolf movie with an ex-hardcore gamer called The Cursed, which wasn't very good either, but I'm all about werewolves usually and werewolf movies. Wasn't there another one called Silver Bullet or something like that?
Sounds right.
No, there's one that used to, I don't remember the title of it, but it was like this family of werewolves, like they were like part of this pack and this one guy went rogue and he was coming back for his son, but the son had no idea that they were coming from a family of werewolves. And it was, I don't remember the title of it. When I do, I'll send it to you, but that one was actually pretty good. Yeah.
You have Underworld too, which had the Lycans, which are kind of like werewolves.
Close enough. So,
Any Underworld fans here?
Yeah, they weren't too bad, except for like the last one was a bit like meh, but.
Peach,
you can
gonna...
only take so many of them.
Are you a fan, Peach?
I haven't seen them, but I know I'd like them because that's totally my kind of movie. I love pretty much anything horror, to be honest.
I know my brother loves the actress. I can't think of her name right now, the star of the movie. But
Kate Beckinsale.
Thank you. Yes, Kate Beckinsale.
You're welcome.
She's a big fan of her. So.
All right. So last week's community poll, we asked you, how old were you when you first started gaming? And it looks like the fair majority of people have been gaming for a very long time because the most popular answer was 0 to 10 years old at 86%. Next, we had 11 to 20 years old at 9%, 21 to 30 at 3%. 31 to 40 at 2%, and 40 plus, there was actually somebody answered that because there was 1%.
That's just really gotten into gaming,
you know,
unless they're very old.
How awesome is that? Because it's never too late to start gaming.
Yeah, you know, I say regardless of your age, games do a great job of bringing people together. It's one of the exciting things at this channel, though, to me, is the fact that I have relatable folks around me now because I've always kind of felt alone in life at times. Like I was the only one that played some of these old games. And now you have this great community where we're all kind of in the same age bracket, according to our YouTube analytics anyways. So that's really exciting to me. Sounds like a lot of people though started really young, just like us. Legend, when did you start gaming?
Oh, I would say that I'm more in the 2% range.
Okay.
I mean, I played little games when I was younger, but I never really started gaming until just a few years ago. And I'm in that age range.
Fascinating. Wow. I would have considered you to be a gamer from like a long, long time ago, but that's cool though.
A lot of these games and genres I'm learning about now. Yeah.
So I should have asked you earlier about the retro games. So that's probably exciting for you too, to go back and see some of these older games.
Oh yeah. You know, it's funny that I never really liked the retro graphics when I first like started to get into this, but the more that I started playing them, the more that I started to sort of feel familiar to me from the games that I had played when I was younger. Yeah,
it's been really interesting too, because when I watch your gameplay, it looks like you've been playing games for a long time. So, that's pro right there. Peach, how about you? When did you start gaming?
I started when I was 3 years old. This is going to say a lot about how old I am. My brother used to sit in my bedroom with me when I played Pokemon Blue and tell me if I could fight the Pokemon or not because I couldn't read numbers yet.
Peach, your stories are always the most wholesome.
I know. It's like it's a ball so of light. Cute. Yeah. Fantastic. Silent Signs, I kind of know your story, but go ahead and share it.
I was also probably about 2 or 3 and I started playing Duck Hunt because, you know, it's like a really simple thing to pick up a little like light gun and shoot the little ducks down, which like looking back, I'm surprised I'm not a very violent person. Like, I don't think I've ever shot a real gun, but I used to shoot a light gun frequently.
Like you, I was taught to hold that gun at an early age. My first game was also the Duck Hunt combo pack with the Mario cart, you know.
Now I was like the system itself had been out for a while when I started playing that.
Same
to be
situation
fair
for me.
That's just what we had. So
I was about 5 years old when I first started playing video games, and that changed my whole life. Actually, I never stopped playing from that point on. Every weekend would be Blockbuster and renting a new game, and it just became the thing I loved the most. And now I have this platform that I've always dreamed of where I can actually, and you know, YouTube gets a lot of flack, but I think it's such a wonderful thing that we can now share our content and our feelings and our emotions and stuff through gaming, something that I only dreamed of as a kid looking at a little black and white TV. So pretty exciting stuff. Interesting results here. Let's read some of the comments. I'll do the first one here from the great Lord Derpy. I was 5 years old, says Derpy. Saw my dad playing a little PC game on MS-DOS called Doom. Ever since then, I never stopped gaming. So original Doom for Derpy here. Silent Signs, you want to read Charlie Kosluzinski?
Sure.
I don't want to mess that up because it's a Polish name and I'm Polish.
Well, I'm half Polish too, but it's too late now. I remember going to the store with my dad and brother to buy Ocarina of Time. I also remember my brother beating me up after I accidentally deleted his save file. I was probably 4 or 5. And while OOT wasn't the first game I ever played, I'm pretty sure it was the first one I ever finished. And I've must have played it 100 times since. Well, that goes back to our question of the week now, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're actually going to be talking about that a little
repost
bit.
Repost this next week,
later,
Charlie.
Yeah, sure, that's the saves that you lost as when you were younger and all that. But Ocarina of Time, I talked to a lot of people where that was one of their first experiences, which also makes me feel really old. Thank you for writing in, Charlie. Peach, you want to read Fredo Grosso here?
Yeah, Frederick Russo says, my earliest memory was at the arcades, probably Donkey Kong. Home console was ColecoVision at my rich cousin's house. Pitfall was the game. I was 4, I think. And I know, Silent Signs, you like Donkey Kong, don't you?
I do like Donkey Kong, but I'm more of a Donkey Kong Country gal. Donkey Kong original, I am not good at.
Yeah, it's a tough game, actually, when you go back
really
and play
it.
It's really hard. That's why I love that movie. Have you all ever seen The King of Kong before? Yeah.
Yes.
It's a great movie. We actually met Billy Mitchell.
We did.
And he hit on
Silent
Signs.
Here, we'll post the picture right here in the middle of the screen. There it is.
But he actually flirted with you. Go ahead and tell the story.
He didn't flirt with me. He whispered in your ear with his whiskey breath that you had a hot wife.
That counts as flirting, right?
It's very uncomfortable.
I don't know.
For everyone involved.
I guess it's a little bit flirting. It's maybe flirting with you more so than...
Yeah.
Wait, flirting with me?
Yeah.
Well, if he's whispering in your ear, that's, you know...
Yeah, all right. I can see that.
It's a weird experience, but it was fun.
Ruth says, 7 years old, dad brought home a Sega Mega Drive from someone who didn't want it anymore. Was supposed to be for him. That didn't last long. Hooked ever since.
There you go. Aww. A Sega Mega Drive. That's going back. Were any of you Sega girls at all? No.
I loved Sonic, but I never owned the Sega systems.
Me neither.
Yeah, me neither. Okay. I barely had friends who even owned it, I think.
Same. I knew like one person who had a Sega system.
Yeah, actually on the channel, X Hardcore Gamer is our like big Sega fan. He was the kid in town that had all the Sega stuff while most of us had Nintendo stuff. And he actually swears by Sega being better than Super Nintendo and all the consoles. He just loves everything Sega. He had a Saturn over a PSX, that kind of thing. I like a lot of Sega games, and I would say that I was more of a Nintendo kid, but still. What do you think of these Sonic movies they've been making recently? Are any of you fans of these, or have you seen them yet? Well, you can't see the second one yet, but the first one anyways.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was so cute. It was just super cute and fun, and it wasn't exactly the story from the games. I think most of us know that, but it was just cute. And I love, oh gosh, what's its name?
Jim Carrey?
Yeah, I love Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jim Carrey too. Dumb and Dumber is actually one of my favorite movies. Did you like his Robotnik take Silent Song?
It's surprisingly, yes. Yes, I did. I also like the other guy in that movie. I forget what the hell his name is.
Oh, he plays Cyclops.
Yes.
I can't think
James
of
James Marsden.
Marsden. There,
there he is. Yeah. All right.
Legend, have you seen Sonic? No. All right. Well, you should. It's actually really fun, especially you have kids, so they might enjoy it.
Yeah, I like how the only thing that I saw about it was the controversy with like how he looked in general, which...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that looked pretty bad.
That was weird. Yeah, I'm glad they fixed it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it soon for sure.
Mac O'Megley wrote in, started at 3 years old on a 286 PC desktop with the MS-DOS game Digger. There was It Destroyed in a Flood, a home video taken of me playing the game for the first time and explaining how it worked. After a few minutes of dying a few times, I was prompted to enter my initials, but my brother, who was off screen for most of this, rushed off and said, "Hey, those are my initials," in protest. Our parents had in fact given us both the same initials. So as the younger brother, I got to use my initials and my brother had to use the first three letters of his name. This is true to this day. Wow. Same initials as your sibling, huh?
Did you know anyone that had like the funny initials like ass or something like that? Or like butt? You never had that? No. Would you type it anyways just to be funny?
No. I always just put in my mine as AAA because I was lazy.
Black Ghost 0027 says, sometime in 1995, I played the Mega Man X, Super Bonk, and Super Mario All-Stars on Super Nintendo. I was 4 years old.
Did any of you ever see the Mega Man cartoon back in the day? Super Fighting Robot, Mega Man.
I did. I liked that one, yeah.
It was actually really good. I used to like it, too. I was a big Mega Man X fan. I did play Bonk. I never owned the system, though, for it. But Super Mario All-Stars, I'm going to assume we've all played that at some point, right? All right, Rick Sanchez is usually right. Oh, that's his name. Rick Sanchez is usually right, writes in and says, started at 4 on an NES in 1982.
I'm inclined to believe he's right.
I'd hate to say he's wrong.
So last week, our question of the week was, which console would you take if you only had one? Flower Angel Rave said, to answer the question of the week, I would probably choose the Nintendo Switch. I like a lot of the exclusives you can get on that, along with the indies that aren't exclusive, and it was nice to be able to take it on the go. I know it's not a perfect system, but it still works well enough for me. And that was my pick too, so Flower Angel Rave, we think alike.
Ophidian Mind wrote, as to what console with a complete library I would take to a remote island, I was tempted to say the Sega Genesis, but I changed my mind to the Switch when I took into consideration that many of my favorite games are included in the Sega Genesis collection. With the Switch, I can have a great deal of retro games, indie games, and modern AAA titles all on one console, so I get versatility while also having many of my favorite games being available in some format. Yeah, so that pretty much sums it up. That's why I would take it.
I kind of want, assuming everything goes well with it, my system to be the Steam Deck now, because you're going to have access to so many freaking indies day one. That's really going to be cool.
Yeah, but you can't play Donkey Kong Country on the Steam Deck. That is the
deck. Well, I guess there are ways probably, but we won't talk about those here. Lex Noyle writes in and says, I would take the Neo Geo. Hey, that pricey console has some great games besides the fighting games. I would agree, but that console was extremely expensive when it came out.
I didn't have it.
Yeah, it was not easy to afford. That's probably why you didn't have it.
No.
Lastly, we had Bill Crabtree, who says, Switch is definitely my desert island console. So, seems like a lot of folks with the Switch.
And just to remind you all of the question of the week for this week, have you ever lost a save file and had to start all over? Now, I am sure that I have. I know I lost a Diablo save file somewhere along the line.
Oh, brutal.
Somebody deleted my profile from the system.
I blame PlayStation.
But what about you? Have you ever...
Yeah, actually, infamously, when I was a kid, a game called ActRaiser on the Super Nintendo, and it was my buddy's cartridge. His brother had a save all the way at the end. I deleted it like a dumb kid would, and I had to go through the whole game that entire day and get him back to that point. It was one of the hardest things I ever did, but I made it, and he never noticed because I capitalized the name just like it was and everything. It was unbelievable, and I fessed up years later, but he never knew about it.
Impressive. What about you two? Peach, have you ever lost a save file that was particularly harmful?
Not really. I've definitely exited a game at the beginning, not knowing it did an autosave. But I have a bad habit, if I haven't played a game in a while, of just starting over anyway, so it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Sometimes you just forget all the information. You stop playing a game for a while.
Yeah.
Just boot it up. Legend, how about you?
Oh, when that person was mentioning Ocarina of Time, I did not. I was almost at the end of that game too, and I accidentally deleted it. I was so mad. I think I cried.
Oh, brutal. Did you end up going back?
I cried. Well, because the water temple is so hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's brutal when you lose a save. It can be tough to go back and try to
just to find the will to carry on sometimes. It's like, oh man.
So let us know, everybody. That's your question for next week. Let's get out of here, Silent Signs. But before we do, we got to pay tribute to our great indie warriors that support us through channel memberships. We have Bill T, Christian Cruz, Kevalo, Mitchell Hall, Chris Jackson, Nathan Moore, Adriana Amato, CJR, C-Coil, Skepticism, Haley, Julian Colvis, Jen Rose, Jesse, CPM, Bunny, Blue Francis 14, Ray Lynn, Marky Mint, Dave Harp, Peekaboo, Lex Noyle, Eric PSC, King of the Hatch, Carmine Red, and Larkison. Thank you so much for everything you do for independent developers, publishers, and for I Dream of Indie. Girls, thanks so much for spending your Saturday night with me. This is airing on a Sunday, but we're filming it on Saturday. Everyone, enjoy all the content headed your way this week at I Dream of Indie, and we'll talk to you soon.